Welcome to Journey to Brave, a podcast dedicated to empowering women to heal from trauma, cultivate self-acceptance, and fearlessly step into the most brave version of themselves. Hosted by me, Kaya Hunter, certified life and shadow work coach, breathwork facilitator, and NLP and hypnosis master practitioner. Join me as we dive deep into how trauma and the wounds from our past can affect us, how we can heal, find strength, create emotional well-being, and ultimately create the life you've always bloody well dreamed of. I believe that healing as well as self-acceptance are the foundations for personal growth, and we'll explore the tools, the strategies, and practices so that you can create your own journey to brave. Ready? Let's go. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This is the second episode in my series where I'm sharing my greatest teachers and the lessons I've learned from them. Now, as you're listening to this episode, I'm almost home from my 3-week trip to the UK. It's feels so weird to say that. It's like I'm talking to you from the future, which I suppose I kind of am. Anyways, I had an incredible trip and saw so many new places. Oh, I cracked myself up. All right, let's dive in, shall we? In this episode, I'm sharing lessons learned from my teacher, Brooke Castillo. Brooke is the founder of the Life Coach School, which is where I got certified as a coach. My lessons from Brooke are so many. And if you've coached with me or been listening to me for a while, or you hang out with me over on the socials, I would have weaved these lessons into my coachings, my free trainings, this podcast, obviously, and pretty much everywhere. So Brooke, who has a degree in psychology and who'd been a life coach herself for quite some time, started the Life Coach School back in 2007. It's now an 8-figure company and has trained thousands of coaches like me from around the world. I have so much respect for her, although I'm sure she has respect for me as well. She has a hugely popular podcast called The Life Coach School, so go check it out, which I believe is where I found her and I was hooked. I just knew I had to be trained by her. And so in 2021, I took her 6-month long certification program. Because of what I learned, because I learned so much from Brooke, it's too much for one episode really. So I'm just going to unpack a few of my biggest learnings. 3 actually. The first one is the model, and I've talked about this on the podcast in more detail, so if you're keen, hop back and listen to episode 4. The premise of the model isn't anything new, but the way that Brooke simplified it and basically made it a plug and play for literally any situation, I think is its magic. And that is, it's our thoughts that create our feelings, not external events, situations, things people say or don't say, etc. These circumstances are always neutral until we give them meaning with our thoughts. So everything is neutral, a neutral circumstance, until we give it a meaning with our thoughts. So we have a thought about something, and it's that thought that creates the feeling, not the external circumstance. And then from there, our feelings determine our action or our inaction, so what we do or don't do, and then our actions in turn create our results. So it's circumstance, thought, feeling, action, or CTFAR. And when I'm using it for myself or with clients, I write these letters down the page or on a whiteboard and fill the model out, starting at any one of the lines, right? You could start at a feeling line as an example. So here's an example of a model. C, circumstance. My husband said he doesn't want to go to the barbecue on Sunday. Thought, he's being mean and selfish. How do I feel? Angry. What action or inactions am I doing? What am I doing or not doing? Well, I probably withdraw. I might get angry and say words to him. I might lash out. As a few examples, you might think, you know, and in your head what you might do in that situation if your husband does something that you think he's mean. So that's the action line: withdraw, get angry, say words, lash out. The result of that is you're actually being mean to yourself. So the thought always proves our result. I'm not going to go into that too much now, but our thinking always shows up in our result line. So he's being mean, and then the corresponding feeling of anger and actions that I mentioned create the result, but it starts with our thinking. And what the result is here in this model is that you're actually being mean to yourself because of your thoughts and ultimate actions, because of your withdrawal, you're lashing out, you're saying things that you potentially don't mean to hurt him, because it doesn't feel great to feel that anger and ignore your spouse, right? So you're being mean to yourself because you're making yourself feel like crap. But what if you thought for just a second, rather than he's being mean and selfish, whatever you think, oh, well, that's okay. I'll go by myself and have some fun with the girls. I could probably use a break. You'd probably feel very different and have a very different result. So it's not what he said in that example, the C. It's what you make it mean that determines the whole rest of that model, the outcome, the result in that situation. So try it. Grab a piece of paper, plug it in with anything, a feeling, a circumstance, a thought, a result, or even an action, and fill it out. It brings so, so much awareness. And from that place of creating awareness, that's, my friends, where you can make real change. I teach this tool to my clients in much, much more detail. We go through various models during sessions and equip them so that they can use it in their own lives at any time. And it's a tool they'll have forever. So that's the model, the first big lesson that I learned from Brooke. The next one is a concept called manuals. And these are like our rule books for other people, as well as ourselves. Because we do have self-imposed rules as well. Some of them self-imposed, some of them imposed by parents, society, and so forth. But what happens is we often don't tell the other person what's in our manual or our rule book for them. And we often don't even realize that we have one. And as far as having rules for other people, we have them because we think that if, for example, my sister shows up on time for lunch, it's going to make me feel a certain way. Right? She should show up on time for lunch is the rule in that example. And I think that if she abides by that rule that I've said for her, that she, maybe she doesn't even know about, that it's going to make me feel a certain way. And what that's doing is it's handing the power of your emotional health away. Because in that example there, it's giving her the power over how I feel. Right, because if she shows up 15 minutes late for lunch and I've set up this rule that she has to be on time so that I feel happy, if she doesn't do that, it's going to make me feel angry. It's giving her control over my feelings. Because how I feel is based on them behaving in a certain way. And we don't want that. We don't want to give our power of our emotions. We don't want to give the power of our emotions away to other people. As much as we can, we want to be in charge of our own emotions. Just like other people are in charge of theirs. So what we want to do as much as we can is drop the manual, drop the rule book, allow other people to be themselves, to show up as themselves, to be completely themselves. Now, there's a caveat here. Doesn't mean that we get to be assholes to each other, right? And it also doesn't mean that we can't make requests of other people's or put boundaries in place if we need to. Absolutely, we can put boundaries in place if we need to. But as an example, a request, I could say to my sister, hey, look, I love going out to lunch or dinner with you. Love hanging out with you. We always have a good time. But I also would love it if you could be a bit closer to time. And I just want, you know, I love you. And I just want you to know that if you're 5 or 10 minutes late, that's fine. But if you're 20 minutes late, I'm going to just leave the coffee shop. So it's cool if you're late, it's fine. I'm just not going to wait around. So make a request. And then they get to decide whether they abide or follow your request or not. And if they do, great, happy days. And if they don't, then you get to decide what you do with that. If my sister, for example, I've asked her to, you know, show up 5 or 10 minutes late, tops, but 20 minutes, I'm going to leave. And she continues to show up 20 minutes late. I can choose then not to go out for lunch with her anymore. I can choose to get angry. I can choose to just accept it and know that I'm going to sit there for 20 minutes myself. I've got the choice. She's got the choice to decide whether she abides by it, and I've got the choice to determine how I react to it and what I do if it continues. So have a think now. What manuals or rules do you think you might have for your partner or for yourself? Because we have them for ourselves as well. So for your partner, it could be like, well, he should come to the barbecue with me. Of course he should come. Why? He should buy me flowers occasionally. He should remember to clean the kitchen after dinner without me having to ask. What rules do you have for your partner or for yourself? The next lesson I learned was buffering. And buffering is anything that we do to avoid negative emotions. Because let's face it, no one likes to feel shitty emotions, right? It feels so much better to buffer, to go grab a block of chocolate or whatever it might be. And to that point, buffering looks like overdrinking, overeating, mindlessly scrolling social, going shopping online or in the real world, binging on Netflix. It's usually anything that makes us feel good in the moment, and you'll know what that might be for you. Could be go grab a block of chocolate out of the fridge. It could be open the bag of chips in the cupboard. Open the bottle of wine. Whatever it is. It makes us feel good in the moment. And we do it because it makes us feel good. And it's avoiding feeling the negative emotions. It's buffering. And we're not taught at school or by our parents, bless them. We do anything to avoid these negative emotions. In fact, when we were young, we're actually taught the opposite. Parents would distract us with a cuddly toy if we were upset. We were told, oh, don't cry. It's going to be okay. Stop crying. Because we, you know, of course, our parents didn't want us to see us suffering, just like we don't want to see our kids suffer. But negative emotions are a part of life. And buffering instead of feeling them, instead of processing them, is not the way to go, because the effects of that, the detrimental effects of that, are so much worse than the detrimental effects of feeling an emotion. Because all an emotion is energy in motion. It's a feeling in your body. So right, we're not taught this as youngsters. God, I wish this was taught in school. But we become adults and we don't know what to do with our feelings. So of course we buffer. We avoid those feelings. We resist them. We push them away. We react to them. And buffering is just one of the ways that we do that without even realizing what we're doing sometimes. It's that temporary hit of dopamine, that feel-good chemical in our brain. It masks the pain and it feels good in the moment. But how does it feel an hour later after you've downed that block of chocolate or eaten the whole bag of chips? You probably feel shitty again. And it doesn't process the emotion and they stay stuck in our bodies. But like I said, negative emotions are a part of life. There's no avoiding them. And you don't want to avoid them, right? If someone leaves your life that you care about, of course you want to feel sad. If your partner cheats on you, you probably want to be really freaking angry. And if you apply for a new job and you don't get it, of course you want to feel disappointed. All of those things are okay. But what you want to do is process the negative emotion. either sit with it and allow it to pass, do things like EFT tapping that I do with my clients and teach them, grounding exercises, like whatever works for you to process that negative emotion and move it through your body instead of buffering. Don't rush to move through it. And once you feel better, then you can decide what to do next. And that decision, once you've processed or moved through that negative emotion, more than likely isn't going to be buffering. It's not going to be opening the bottle, opening the bag of chips, or downing the block of chocolate. You're going to be using your human part of your brain, your prefrontal cortex, to go and make a decision that's actually probably feels better and is more right for you, better for you, let's face it, than buffering. So that's my top three lessons that I learned from Brooke Castillo. They are big ones and life-changing ones for sure. So we've got the model, we've got manuals or rule books, and we have buffering. And like I said, I learned so, so much more. But what I want to do as I end this episode is say that since I've trained with Brooke, I've continued my education into human behavior, including trauma, soon to be shadow work, and also breath work. And that's because what I believe now is different to what I believed fresh out of coach training. And that is that we're more than just our thoughts. And that means that my clients, my community, need, in inverted commas, need more than just thought work or mindset work to help them feel better, to move through all the things that life, or navigate through all the things that life throws at us. And that's because if we have unconscious patterns, which, by the way, we all have, unhealed trauma, which I would say 99% of us have, or shadows, again, we all have them, thought work, which is basically what the model is, doesn't account for these things. These things require a different approach. They require an embodied approach, an approach that covers what's going on in our bodies as well as what's going on in our minds. Because it's our bodies where these unhealed emotions and traumas are stored. So trying to heal them from our minds doesn't work. We've got to go to where the source, and that's our bodies. So that's where we want to heal them from. And look, I'll continue to use Brooke's teachings in my own life and my coaching practice, but more and more I'll be adding these new modalities and learnings in too, so I can offer an even more holistic approach to you and, quite frankly, to the work that I do on myself, because it's a never-ending thing, right? Life, you know what they say, one constant in life is that it always changes. Like, there's always something. This work is never set and forget because of the human experience. So I'm learning it for me first, and obviously learning it so that I can share it with you guys, so that I can use it in my coaching practice as well to help all of us. Okay, so with all of that said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and of course I hope to see you in next week's episode too. But before I go, if you're interested in learning more about the embodied work that I mentioned, the working with the body to heal things, DM me over on Instagram. I'll get you my free guide. It's called Stop Letting Fear Hold You Back, Start Feeling Confident and Brave. I teach you EFT tapping. And even though the guide is around building self-confidence and being brave, you can use it for anything, right? Because the tapping in that guide is around fear and being scared and having doubts and feeling insecure. So I teach you tapping around that. But you can insert any emotion there, stress, overwhelm, anger, whatever it is. So you can use this guide really and just pop in any negative emotion and it will work. So you can use it for anything. It's a really short video and then a guide. So you can go and you can start doing that work by yourself. So DM me over on Instagram. All right, I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Have the best week ever, and I will be back in your ears from Queensland next week. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Journey to Brave podcast. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, if you've liked this episode, you're going to love my free video and guide, Stop Letting Fear Hold You Back, Start Feeling Confident and Brave. I share a simple strategy you can start using today to help you feel more confident and brave. Learn the strategy in this video and you can use it on any negative emotion at any time. You can download it via the show notes. See you next week.